Somebody say, I was born for this. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I was born for this. I hope you've had some of those born for this moments this week. I told you, I feel like God wants all of us to have those on a regular basis, moments where you feel like, man, this is what I was created for. This is what I was created to do. I feel the pleasure of God when I do X. You fill in the blank. And just those moments in our life where we feel God's pleasure. Like Mark Twain said, the two greatest days in every man's life are the days born and the day he finds out why. And so this is something that I'm seeing over and over. So many people say, Josh, I feel like I have no purpose in my life. And that message that we did on the second, as we began this series, Born for This, resonated so strong, and we got so much feedback on that. I want to challenge you and encourage you that if you haven't heard it yet, stop by and grab one of the CDs, take it to a friend maybe that's struggling with purpose, jump on the Victory Now app or the Voice of Victory website. It's there waiting for you that you can listen to and share. But I got this several responses, and here's one of them. Thanks for the message. I really needed it. I feel like I don't have any purpose. I just feel so lost. Another one said, good afternoon, sir. I met you briefly yesterday after Mass. I just wanted to thank you. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like I needed to be there yesterday. The last 2.5 years have been interesting, to say the least, for me, and you're absolutely right about it being hard to find faith when nothing seems to be going right. The best way I can explain it is that the message gave me hope. Here's another one that says, dude, I was blown away. What a service today. I'm getting a bunch of those CDs and taking them to the BSU at Sayre. Another one says, I just want to thank you again for today. They said, I've never wanted to be involved with a church until my girlfriend started bringing me, and honestly, I think it saved my life so far. I can never say thank you enough for everything and the words of encouragement every single week. So can you give God praise today that you're in a place full of life and that lives are being changed and transformed, and we are literally dealing hope. And that's why I tell you, I'm smoking what I'm rolling. If it's good for you, it's good for me. Amen? So we're dealing hope. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him we're dealing hope. And so we're talking about born for this, your purpose in life. Because I believe with all my heart, Jesus Christ lived his life to the fullest more than any other human being that's ever walked the face of the planet. And not in a way that says, well, you can never have what I have because I'm God's son and you're not. No, Jesus came to show us the life, Darcy, we could have and the life we could live. He gave us something to set our sights on. And I love the way that as you read the Bible, Jesus, Daniel, seemed to throw himself into every situation, every conversation, every relationship. He was fully invested right there, Sheridan, in that moment with the person he was with, Mike. He was zeroed in. He was focused. And he knew his purpose in life. He knew why he was here. And it's what unlocked the ability in him to make a difference every single day. And that's the kind of life he showed us that we could live. A life where we finish with no regrets and we accomplish what God created us to do and called us to do. It doesn't mean we don't go through difficulty. It doesn't mean we don't go through hardship. But we saw from that message that our purpose is bigger than our pain. Our purpose is bigger than our past. And so Jesus knew exactly why he was here. Jesus was born for a purpose. And we use these symbols behind me on the platform to talk about what that purpose was. You see a heart, you see the end of a manger, a cross, a stone, and then a crown. And it's very simply to tell the gospel, so easy. Actually, some teachers had used these emblems to teach their children how to share the gospel too. And it's that love came down, was born in a manger, died on the cross, arose from the grave, and ascended to the Father. Love came down, was born in a manger, died on the cross in our place, arose from the grave, and ascended to the throne where he's seated right now in victory, and he's praying for you. Can you give God praise that that's the message that makes my life matter, and it's a word that works. And so Jesus was born for a reason. He was born for a season. For 33 and a half years he was here, but he was sent by God. He was sent on a mission. He was on assignment. He came to do something. And so we say Jesus was born for a purpose, and so were you. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him you were born for a purpose. Lay your hand on your heart and say, I was born for a purpose. Come on, say it again. I was born for a purpose. Say it like you mean it. I was born for a purpose. That means your life is no accident. You're here on earth right now by divine appointment, by divine assignment, whether you realize it or not. The greatest tragedy of all is not dying. It's living with no purpose. Purpose is the unique mission God has given each of us and all of us. There are things He has created all of us to do, and there are things He has created only you to do. And living for Jesus is about what you can do, not about what you cannot do. If you focus on what you can't do as a Christian, your world is going to feel very small. But if you focus on what He sets you free to do, living for Jesus is going to be a whole new universe. It's going to be a whole new way of doing life. That's a difference at Victory Church. We focus on what He sets you free to be and what He sets you free to do. Can you say amen today? And so purpose is the reason God created you. And Jesus' life mattered. Nobody would disagree with that. But your life matters too. Somebody say, my life matters. He gave us His best so we could be our best. And He wants you to love your life because He loves you. And I want to show that to you because I think sometimes we shy away from a comment like that, that God wants me to love my life. But that's actually why Jesus said His purpose in coming was. And it's John chapter 10, verse 10. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Well, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty good life to me. How many of you want that kind of life? Abundant life, overflowing life, to the full, a life that you can enjoy. Somebody say, I love my life. Amen. I like to read it out of the New Living for you. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. My purpose, Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus' purpose is to give you a rich and a satisfying life. And so what we began with by saying, born for this, I was born for this. Today we want to say, I was born for more. And that's what Jesus gives us. Somebody say, I was born for more. Come on, say, I was born for more. Come on a rainy day, say it one more time like you mean it. I was born for more. Look at your neighbor and tell him you were born for more. See, God wants you to not only have a great life, He wants you to enjoy the life you're living. Here's why. Because the greatest evangelists of all are people who love the life they're living right now. They're not waiting for tomorrow. They're not stuck in the past. They're enjoying the moment. They're maximizing the now. And I don't know about you, but I love my life. I love who I am. I love where I am. I love what I do. I love who I'm doing life with. I looked at one of your eyes this morning and just had an amazing conversation and shared how much I'm grateful to have the opportunity to be here with you today, because this is family to me. Amen. And I thank God that we're in His living room and we're doing life together. And I don't take for granted the opportunity to look into your eyes every single week. You say, well, Josh, does that mean your life is perfect? Does that mean everything goes your way? Does that mean God answers every one of your prayers? No. I got junk in my trunk. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I got issues. You got them too. Starting to sing to you. I got some stuff I'm working through and working out. There's still pains to overcome and people I'd like to punch in the mouth. Y'all got some of them? Let's just be real in the house of God. All the real folks say amen. Amen. You got somebody ticking you off, right? Just wave at me right now if you know who I'm talking. Okay, yep, right there. Jesus, help them. But I love my life. I made up my mind. I'm not going to wait till everything's right. Everything's never going to be right. To everything, there's a season. My job, Tommy, is to find out how to be my best in every season of my life, no matter what's going on. That way people get to know the real me, no matter what I'm going through. I'm not going to wait. I love my life. I love who I'm with. It hasn't always been that way, though. I said it hasn't always been that way, though. There was a time when I looked in the mirror and I hated the person looking back at me. I felt like I was trapped in the life I was living. I didn't know how to get out, but I thank God that Jesus shined a light. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. And I ran to Jesus, and He ran to me, and He gave me a brand new life that I have loved every single second. And my worst day with Jesus is so much better than my best day with the devil ever was. Amen? Somebody say, I was born for more. I got this testimony this week. It said, I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. Life hasn't always been easy over the last year. I've suffered a lot of personal losses. 2 days ago, I thought I finally hit bottom. I actually saw myself taking my own life. Inside, I felt it was the only way to get rid of the pain that I've been feeling. But something happened to me Wednesday night. Something started stirring in me a couple months ago when we started attending Victory Church. I became on fire for God. I felt Him so much for the first time ever. I knew that I had so much to be thankful for, and I had only been concentrating on the negatives. I just want to want you to know that thanks to Victory Church and following your app faithfully with the support of my family and friends, I am 110% in love with my life. I am putting God first, and by doing so, I no longer feel like that person that has nowhere to go and nobody to turn to. I no longer feel like that person that needs to end my life, to end my suffering. I know that there is a reason and a season for everything, and I've put it all in God's hands. And for the first time in a long time, I can say, I am loving my life. Come on, can you celebrate the power of the gospel changing hearts? Love came down, was born in a manger, died on the cross, arose from the grave, and ascended the throne because every one of your lives matters. Somebody say, my life matters. And so today we're talking about this. I was born for more. You were created on purpose, for a purpose, by a purpose. And we are the happiest when we're being used by God to fulfill what He created us to do. And at some point, all of us are asking this question. I feel like I was created for more, but what is it? What's my purpose? What difference does my life make? Does my life matter? Why am I here? Does God have a plan for me? Am I even necessary? And so let me give you some things today that all of us, no matter who you are, were created and born again by God to do every single day. And as you throw yourself into what I'm going to share with you today, last time we told you you have a purpose, today I'm going to share with you what that purpose is. And as you throw yourself into this, man, the world is going to become so big and God is going to become so real to you. Are you ready for that this morning? Yes. Amen. Are you ready on this side? Yes. All right, here we go. Number one, I was born for life-giving relationships. I was born for life-giving relationships. If you have your worship guide, there are blanks there for you to fill in. I was born for life-giving relationships. And this starts with my relationship with God. The reason why love came down, was born in a manger, died on the cross, arose from the grave, and ascended to the throne was very simply so that you could come back into right relationship with the Father. It was so that you could know God. My relationship with God has got to be first. My relationship with God has got to be first. My relationship with God has got to be first. My relationship with God has got to be first. My relationship with God has got to be first. My relationship with God has got to be first. My relationship with God has got to be first. My relationship with God has got to be first. My relationship with God has got to be first. Your relationship with God has got to be first. It's got to be first. Now, I know that sounds simple on the surface, but when you call on Jesus as Lord of your life, that's what it means, that He's first. He's first in order and He's first in importance. And so I'm saying, God, I'm looking to You for everything in my life. And I love what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 says. This scripture is amazing. It says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. How do I find it? In Jesus. It's in Christ that I find out who we are and what we're living for. Thanks for being in church today, because every single week we open the Bible, you're discovering who you are and what you're living for. Every time you open it in the morning or at night to read your Bible, you are discovering who you are in Christ and what you're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us. Think about that. God is thinking about you today. He had His eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living. Now, what is God's design for your life? He says it's glorious living. Somebody say glorious living. Part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and in everyone. So that tells me today that you are created by God to have a life-giving relationship with God. We were not created to do life without God, like a fish without water. Humans are without a walk with Jesus Christ. There is no life outside of a walk with God. I know, because I tried, and I was jacked up. I was one sick pup. There is no life worth living outside of a life lived with Jesus Christ. Amen? Again, life is so jacked up without Jesus. But God is for you, and He's not against you. And that's why love came down, was born in a manger, died on the cross, arose from the grave, and ascended to the throne. Our sin had separated us from having a relationship with God. And Jesus came for this purpose, to overcome my sin. so I could come back into relationship with my Father in heaven. And what he did was he nailed my sin to the cross when he took it out of the way. He killed my sin at the cross. He buried my sin in that grave. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." In other words, Jesus became something he had never been so that you could become something you had never been. He became my sin so that I could become his righteousness. Let me try that again. He became something he had never been so that I could become something I had never been. We called that today, I am a child of God. I had never been God's child. Jesus was. But he took my place as an outsider when he died on the cross so I could take his place as an insider. And now when I'm born again, I have the DNA of my Father in heaven. No matter what your family tree is, no matter what your family history is, no matter what family curses are there, your family tree is now the tree of Calvary. And I got a brand new beginning when I called on the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior in my life. And I can now be a reflection of my Father in heaven. Just like I look like my Father on earth, now my life ought to look like my Father in heaven. So Jesus came to overcome and conquer my sin. He also came to show us who God is. If you want to know what Daddy is really like, if you want to know, Jake, what God is really like, look no farther than the life of Jesus Christ. If you want to know what God thinks about sin, look at Jesus. If you want to know what God thinks about sickness, look at Jesus. If you want to know how God handles people who are struggling and discouraged and afflicted and oppressed and addicted, look at the way Jesus handled the woman who was caught in adultery, or the woman at the well, or any one of the individuals who came to him in the night because they didn't want anybody else to see him, but they knew that there was something drawing them to Jesus. Think about the fact that Jesus sat down and he ate with sinners and prostitutes and people who were thieves and crooks and the disreputable. They were all drawn to Jesus. They didn't run from Jesus. They ran to him. I thank God today the Victory Church is a place, not that's a museum for saints, but it is a hospital for sinners. And the people who are far from God are running to this place because they know that Jesus is here. There ought to be something attractive about our Jesus to the world around us. So he came to show us who God is. John chapter 1 verse 17 backs that up. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. You won't find God's love in the law. You won't find his unfailing faithfulness in the law. But what you find that in is Jesus Christ. He said, "No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is himself God is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." He, Jesus, has revealed God to us. When I look at Jesus, I see the Father. When I hear Jesus, I hear the Father. Amen? When I feel Jesus, I'm being touched by the Father. Can you say amen today? John chapter 12, verse 44 through 46 shows us that. That Jesus' purpose was to come and show us God. He came to introduce us to God. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He said Jesus summed it all up when he cried out, "Whoever believes in me believes not just in me, but in the one who sent me. Whoever looks at me is looking, in fact, at the one who sent me. I'm the light that is coming into the world so that all who believe in me won't have to stay in the dark any longer." Can y'all give God praise for the light of the world, Jesus Christ? Jesus came to give me unlimited access to the Father. I love that. He came to give us unlimited access to the Father. Not limited. Throughout the Old Testament, it was limited. One man, one time a year, could go into the presence of God. But now all of us, somebody say all of us. All of us can run right into Daddy's arms every single day, 24/7, 365, unlimited, unhindered. The blood of Jesus makes you so clean, you can go pile up on Daddy's lap as much as you want to. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Therefore, let us go boldly before his throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." God is sitting on a throne of grace. Not judgment. He is a God of judgment, but he's sitting on a throne of grace. And towards you as a believer, there is grace for you. Come on, somebody say, "There is grace for me." And grace, you got to get over being forgiven of sins. That's a great place to start, but grace is life fuel. Grace empowers you to fulfill your purpose. Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and I was able to accomplish more than anybody else." Grace empowers me to go farther, faster. Grace empowers me to live a life that when other people look at me, they can only say, "To God be the glory, great things that he has done." And his grace is still sufficient for you. God has grace for you today. Come on, somebody say, "Pour it on down." We need the grace of God every single day. Number two, I was born for love. I was born for love. I was born for love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? I love that. God wanted to wag his finger at you. He would have sent a condemner, but he didn't. He sent a savior. That's such good news. He didn't send an executioner. He sent a savior. And most of us struggle with this idea that we're lovable. Some of y'all know how serious that is. We look in the mirror and we have a hard time loving ourselves. We look at life through the lens of our past experience. And we feel like we have to do something to earn God's love. We have to do something to keep God happy. Can I tell you right now, you don't have to do anything to earn God's love. He loved you when you were still dead in sin. He loved you when you were still a sinner. He loved you while you still had a smile on your face from the sin you committed. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, he went and he died for us so that he could bring us out. You don't have to do anything to earn God's love. I'm not coming to church so that God loves me. I'm coming to church because God loves me. I'm not changing my life so God will love me. I'm changing my life because he loves me. I'm not living a holy life because I have to. I'm living a holy life because I want to. I don't read my Bible so that he'll love me. I read my Bible because I know he loves me, and every time I read it, I see how much more he loves me. Come on, somebody. I'm not jumping and clapping and praising because I have to, because I'm trying to impress him and I'm begging him somewhere to love me and not give up on me. I'm doing it because he loves me. I'm doing it because he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm doing it because he said, you are mine and I am yours, and I claim you, and I have sealed you with my Holy Spirit, and I have invested in your life the best thing I have because I believe in you that much. I love him today because he said, I love you even as much as I love my own son Jesus. Your life matters, and it's as valuable to God as his own son. Can you say amen? Amen. I was born to be loved by God, and that's what makes his love for us so unique. He loved his enemies. He healed his enemy Malchus when Peter cut his ear off. He forgave his enemies, the soldiers that nailed him to the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God's response was not to destroy us. It was to save us, not condemn us, to rescue us. And so Jesus wants you to now go out and love others the same way he's loved you. He wants you to go share that same love that he's given you with somebody else. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, it says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Where does love come from? God is the source of love. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. Jesus wants every single one of us to love other people the same way he's loved us. So my question for you is, how can you go out this week and show somebody else the love of God? Because love is something that we not just say, but love is something we do. It's both. You've got to say it and you've got to do it. We can only see it in the actions it prompts, but it's something that we need to say constantly. When was the last time you told your spouse you loved them? If you're married here today, it's a great opportunity to do it right now. Look at your baby and tell her, Marsha, I love you so much. Come on, look at your spouse and tell him, I love you. Don't be prophesying to the girl sitting next to you if she's not your wife yet. Hey, girl, I love you. Like, I need to move my seat. Usher! When was the last time you told your kids you loved them? Seriously, if they're grown, they live away. When was the last time you told them you love them? When was the last time you communicated your love to others? And what are you doing to show other people how much you love them every single day? Love is something you say, and it's something you do. You can't overlook that. And so how are you going to demonstrate that to others this week? Again, those things I showed you, they're in your worship guide today. Ideas that you can do to love struck somebody. Go do one of them this week. I promise you, it'll make you feel better than it makes the person feel that you do it for. Number three, I was born for glory. Somebody say glory. Jesus said this. He said in John 17:22, when he's praying before he goes to the cross, he says to the Father, they're having a conversation. He says, the glory which you gave me, I have given them. Somebody say, I am a possessor of God's glory. Now, that's glory, again, a real churchy word. We spent all fall talking about this, but it just means the goodness, the presence, and the power of God. When you see something amazing happen, it's the glory of God. Okay? When God does something amazing, it's the glory of God being revealed. Well, he said, I have given my glory, my goodness, my presence, my power, I've given it to my people. Well, I love that. Because here's the reality. He's the sun. Amen? In our solar system, what's at the center? The sun. Well, God gives us things we can see to help us understand things we can't see. The S-O-N is at the center of our universe. And my life revolves around him. Jesus is not an addition to my life that orbits around me. I'm not at the center. Jesus is. Let me say it again. I'm not at the center. Jesus is. But God gave us something in the night that gives off light. We call it the moon. Isn't that right? But here's what's amazing. The moon has no light of its own. The moon is simply a reflector of the light of the sun. Can I tell you right now that God has made you like the moon? That God has created you who have no light of your own in yourself, but he has created you in a dark world to be a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ to those who are around you. He has given us a nightlight. He has given the world a nightlight. And you know who it is? It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's you and it's me. He said, you are the light of the world. It's not our light. It's his light reflecting from us. Can you say amen today? And so when you go out of here, you got to remember, I'm not trying to shine. I'm shining because I can't help it. The light is hitting me and it's bouncing off of me to other people around me. And that means everywhere I go, I have the ability to display and demonstrate the goodness of God. I am a container and I'm a carrier and I'm a vessel and I'm a channel. If you ever get this, I am a channel of the glory of God. The Bible says that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Actually, Jesus said in the book of John, he said that the Father has made his home in your heart. Your heart is now his home. His glory lives on the inside of you. So let's take it a step farther. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Everything you do every day, do it in a way that glorifies God. Everything you do every day, do it in a way that glorifies God. Whether you're a husband or a mother or a teacher or a carpenter or a welder or a farmer or a truck driver or a vet or a cop or a nurse or a social worker or a mechanic or a teller or a linesman or a banker or an electrician or a waitress or an insurance salesman or a coach or a student or retired, live your story to show his glory. Amen? Amen? Every single day, I was created to live a life that glorifies God. Here's how I do that. Just give God your best every day. You don't have to be perfect in what you're doing. Now, I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about what you have to do today. I'm talking about giving God your best. Be like Jesus. Throw yourself totally into what God has set in front of you for that day. Number four, I was born, and this one might surprise some of you. Number four, I was born for victory. Somebody say victory. I was born for victory. I was born to walk in victory every single day of my life. God did not create you to fail. Let me say it again. God did not create you to fail. He created you to live in victory. I was born for victory in my life. Victory means I've overcome an enemy. Victory means I've succeeded in my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory is a gift. Somebody say victory is a gift. It's something God gives us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world." Every child of God defeats this evil world. How many of you are a child of God today? Come on, the Bible says every one of us overcome the world. That's because the overcomer is living inside of me. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through right now, you're an overcomer. And he said, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Faith gives us the victory. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Are there any believers in the house today? Then victory belongs to you. It is your birthright as a result of Jesus dying on the cross and getting up from the grave. You weren't created to fail. It's why failure feels so awful. It feels so unnatural for us. It makes us feel just bleh. God never failed at anything he's ever done. God is not a failure. Amen? You're not a failure. I said you're not a failure. I said you're not a failure. I want to drive this one in deep. You're not a failure. I don't care what anybody else said to you. You're not a failure. I don't care what your business is doing. You're not a failure. I don't care what your bottom line is. You're not a failure. I don't care what your net worth is. You're not a failure. I don't care what size tag is in your pants. Because come on, somebody. Them tags will talk to you every time you look in the mirror. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're not a failure. You're not a failure. You're not a failure. You're not a failure. I don't care if you failed. It doesn't make you a failure. You're not a failure. You cannot fail. You have the overcomer living on the inside of you. You are not a failure. You are not a failure. You are not a failure. I'm going to spend the next 15 minutes just saying it. You are not a failure. I am not a failure. I am a child of God. I am chosen. Hallelujah. I am victorious. Hallelujah. I've got the spirit of resurrection living in me. No matter how many times the devil tries to kill me, I will get back up again. I'm not a failure. You're not a failure. Come on, this goes a whole lot deeper than some of you want to think about right now. Some of y'all can't even get into this and open that compartment in your heart without tears flooding your face. You are not a failure. That one right there, you are not a failure. I don't care what the devil tells you. You want to know the truth? Flip the script on the lie. He says you're a failure. Thanks, devil, for the reminder, because you can't tell the truth. I'm a winner. I'm victorious. I'm an overcomer. I'm a child of God. I was born for more. God doesn't see you as a failure. But living in victory is no accident. And that's why Victory Church is here to help you make better decisions and live with fewer regrets. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? I thank God for a church that helped me do that. Can you give God praise right now? I want to ask the worship team to come and join me. See, when we're going through difficulty and we face what we perceive to be failures, we begin to question God's love. We begin to question God's presence. We begin to question God's goodness. But the Apostle Paul had this revelation that he couldn't wait to share with everybody in the most victorious chapter of the entire New Testament. It's Romans chapter 8. And it says in verse 35, can anything ever separate us from the love of Christ? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with life? As the scriptures say, for your sake we're killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. Sometimes we feel like we're just under constant attack. He says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming victory. Overwhelming victory is ours. Come on, somebody say, overwhelming victory is mine. Say, overwhelming victory is mine. Look at your neighbor and tell him, overwhelming victory is yours. One more time, overwhelming victory is yours. And it all comes because Jesus loves us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says it like this. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. See, no matter how dark your life seems, you are moving towards your next victory. He said that God is always leading you in triumph. God is always leading you towards your next victory. That's why I always say when people ask, I'm never down. I'm either up or getting up, but I'm never down. Come on. It don't mean you don't feel down. Had somebody send us an email a couple weeks ago. She said, I just wonder if anybody else feels like me. Sometimes I feel depressed. Sometimes I feel down. Sometimes I feel discouraged. Sometimes I feel overwhelmed by the lies. And I just want to know if I'm weird. Is she weird? Does anybody else have those moments? Right? Come on, this room is full of people who go through that. I'm never down, though. I'm either up or I'm getting up. I'm not going to let it define my life. Can you say amen? Number five and last today, and this is my favorite one. I was born for making a difference. I was born for more. I was born to make a difference. You were born to make a difference the second you realize it. Oh, my goodness, life gets so big. Everything you do starts to matter. You're not an accident. You're not an afterthought. You are a difference maker. That's why Satan is so scared of you. That's why hell is so scared of you. That's why hell is telling you your life doesn't matter. Your contribution doesn't count. You can't make a difference. You don't have anything to give. There's nothing you can do to benefit or bless others. As a matter of fact, the world would be a better place without you. Nobody's even gonna miss you. And you're constantly bombarded by these lies that belittle us and reduce our value. and we tell us ourselves that we're disqualified. But I want to tell you today, the breath in your lungs is proof that God sent you into this world for a purpose. And Jesus came down, was born in a manger, died on the cross, arose from the grave, and ascended to the throne so that he could pray you through to victory. He could pray you through to a salvation moment. He could pray you through to an infilling of the Holy Spirit moment. He could pray you through to a life that matters and makes a difference. He could pray you through to your very last step until you cross the finish line and hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The second he saved you, he enlisted you in his army. He made you a part of his mission. That's why when he got up from the grave, he said to all of us, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they're going to get better." Jesus was saying, "You're a difference maker, and I've created you to go make a difference. I've made a difference in you so that you can make a difference in somebody else." He's given you the power to fulfill your purpose. He said in Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth." That tells us today, he's got an anointing for my assignment. He's got an anointing for your assignment. All you've got to do is ask for it. He said in Luke 11:13, "Anybody who asks for the Holy Spirit, I'll pour him out on you." You got to make a choice today to bloom where God has planted you. Start saying, "I was born for more. I am a difference maker. I am who God says I am. My life matters. My contribution counts. I've got something to give. I'm anointed and I'm appointed. I'm called and I'm chosen. I'm qualified and I'm fully equipped. I'm blessed to be a blessing. His grace is sufficient. I can do all things." Come on and sing that. Not against me. God created you, recreated you to be. You are where God wants you right now. Stop whining and start shining. Make up your mind, "I'm going to bloom where God has planted me. I'm going to bear fruit where God has planted me. I'm going to be a part of the solution where God has put me. I am a difference maker in my world right now. What he saved me for is greater than what he saved me from. My Lord and Savior said to me in John 14:12, the stuff he did, I could do even greater things than that stuff because he's going to the Father." Look out, devil. We're here to change the world. You got to make up your mind today that I am a child of God. I'm the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. I'm a city set on a hill. I'm a significant part of God's plan. It's still time to make a difference. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. I don't care if you don't feel like anything I just said. Please stop living by your feelings. We walk by faith and not by sight and not by what we feel. And what that means is very simply this, that I choose on the days I don't feel like any of that to believe what God said over what the devil's saying. I give his word first place in my life. Jesus is Lord in my life, not the lies. The lies will not be Lord over me. Can you say amen today? Come on, would you give him a big shout of praise? Purpose is everything. Some of you came in here today and you felt like, "I have no purpose in my life." Thank God that you're not leaving like you came in. I just gave you 5 things you were created to do every single day. Throw yourself wholeheartedly into all of those and watch God show up.
Living for Jesus is not just about getting ready to die. It's about beginning to live. It's not just about what you can do. It's about everything you can do, because he is for you. He is not against you. And love came down, was born in a manger, died on the cross, arose from the grave, and ascended to the throne, because your life matters. And that's why he gave you the best gift of all, his son Jesus. I love you from the bottom of my heart.
Isn't that a good word today, church?